Among other fragments of useful knowledge gathered by man, he has discovered and classified the 83 elements of which all physical matter consists. By study and analysis and comparison, man has discovered the bigness of the material things in the universe as they are represented by the suns and stars, some of them over 10 million times as large as the earth on which he lives. On the other hand, man has discovered the littleness of things by reducing matter to molecules, atoms, and finally, to the smallest known particle, the electron. An atom is so inconceivably small that a grain of sand contains millions of them. The molecule is made up of atoms, which are said to be little particles of matter that revolve around each other in one continuous circuit at lightning speed, very much as the Earth and other planets whirl around the Sun in an endless circuit. The atom, in turn, is made up of electrons, which are constantly in rapid motion. Thus, it is said that in every drop of water and every grain of sand, the entire principle upon which the whole universe operates is duplicated. How marvelous! How stupendous! How do we know these things to be true? Through the aid of the mind. You may gather some slight idea of the magnitude of it all the next time you eat a beefsteak by remembering that the steak on your plate, the plate itself, and the table on which you are eating, and the silverware with which you are eating are all, in final analysis, made of exactly the same material, electrons. In the physical or material world, whether one is looking at the largest star that floats through the heavens, or the smallest grain of sand to be found on Earth, the object under observation is but an organized collection of molecules, atoms, and electrons. An electron is an inseparable form of power made up of a positive and a negative pole. Man knows much about the physical facts of the universe. The next great scientific discovery will be, in fact, which already exists, that every human brain is both a broadcasting and a receiving station, that every thought vibration released by the brain may be picked up and interpreted by all other brains that are in harmony or in tune with the rate of vibration of the broadcasting brain. How did man acquire the knowledge that he possesses concerning the physical laws of this earth? How did he learn what has taken place before his time and during his uncivilized period? He gathered this knowledge by turning back the pages of nature's Bible and there viewing the unimpeachable evidence of millions of years of struggle among animals of a lower intelligence. By turning back the great stone pages, man has uncovered the bones, skeletons, footprints, and other unmistakable evidence which Mother Nature has held for his inspection throughout unbelievable periods of time. Now man is about to turn his attention to another section of nature's Bible, the one wherein has been written a history of the great mental struggle that has taken place in the realm of thought. This page is represented by the boundless ether, which is picked up and still carries every thought vibration that was ever released from the mind of man. This great page in nature's Bible is one that no human being has been able to tamper with. Its records are positive, and soon they may be clearly interpreted. No interpolations by man have been permitted. Of the authenticity of the story written on this page, there can be no doubt. Thanks to education, meaning the unfolding, educing, drawing out, developing from within of the human mind, nature's Bible is now being interpreted. The story of man's long, perilous struggle upward has been written on the pages of this, the greatest of all Bibles. All who have partly conquered the six basic fears described in another author's visit in this series, and who have successfully conquered superstition and ignorance, may read the records that have been written in nature's Bible. To all others, this privilege is denied. For this reason, there are probably fewer than 1,000 people in the entire world at this time who are in even the primary grade as far as the reading of this Bible is concerned. In the entire world, there are probably fewer than 100 people today who know anything about or have ever heard of the chemistry of the mind, through which two or more minds may be blended in a spirit of perfect harmony in such manner that there is born a third mind possessing the superhuman power to read the story of the vibration of thoughts as it has been written and now exists in the imperishable records of the ether. The newly discovered radio principle has shut the mouths of the doubting Thomases and sent the scientists scurrying into new fields of experimentation. When they emerge from this field of research, they will show us that the mind as we understand it today, as compared to the mind of tomorrow, is about the same as comparing the intelligence of a polywog to that of a professor of biology who has read the entire lifeline of animal life from the amoeba on up to man. Come for a short visit with a few of the powerful men of recent years who made use of power created through the blending in a spirit of harmony of two or more minds. We will begin with three well-known men who are known to be men of great achievement in their respective fields of endeavor. Their names are Henry Ford, Thomas A. Edison, and Harvey Firestone. Of the three, Henry Ford is the most powerful, having reference to economic power. Mr. Ford is the most powerful man now living on Earth, and is believed to be the most powerful who ever lived. So great is his power that he may have anything of a physical nature that he desires or its equivalent. Millions of dollars to him are but playthings, no harder to acquire than the grains of sand with which the child builds sand tunnels. Mr. Edison has such a keen insight into Mother Nature's Bible that he has harnessed and combined for the good of man more of nature's laws than any other man who ever lived. It was he who brought together the point of a needle and a piece of wax in such a way that they record and preserve the human voice. It was he who first made the lightning serve to light our houses and streets through the aid of the incandescent light. It was he who made the camera record and produce all sorts of motion through the modern moving picture apparatus. Mr. Firestone's industrial achievement is so well known that it needs no comment. He has made dollars multiply themselves so rapidly that his name has become a byword wherever automobiles are operated. All three men began their business and professional careers with no capital and but little schooling of the nature usually referred to as education. Perhaps Mr. Ford's beginning was by far the most humble of the three. Cursed with poverty, retarded by lack of even the most elementary form of schooling, and handicapped by ignorance in many forms, he has mastered all of these in the inconceivably short period of 25 years. Thus might we briefly describe the achievements of three well-known successful men of power. But we have been dealing with effect only. The true philosopher wishes to know something of the cause which produced these desirable effects.